Seeking the Lord's gracious help, let us turn to the book of Job, and in chapter 23, we'll read the verse 10. In the book of Job, chapter 23, the verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as God. Dear Job had previously in this part of this book of Job, in this chapter, said in verse 2, he said, even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. He says, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Job, in the depth of his trials, felt that if only he could come into the presence of the Lord, then the matter would be put straight. I have often noticed that in the time when he was in the Lord's presence, he had to declare those things that he has spoken of. And he says, in the closing chapter of the book of Job, chapter 42, he says, Hear I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He soon had to prove that when he stood before God, he had nothing to say. It was all in the Lord's hand. And how this poor man, as he came into those depths, he knew that his God could not leave him. I read the 71st Psalm because it is the Psalm of David, it is believed. He's now a man in his old age. He says so in the Psalm. And he says in verse 9, Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. But he has to come down to this understanding that, as he says, that in verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Dear Job was stripped of all of his righteousness, and so shall we be. If we stood literally, spiritually, we do so, we believe. But if we were at that judgment seat and judgment throne, friends, there's nothing that we have. We can bring nothing before a just and a holy God. And I felt that to lay upon my heart. I thought of those words of Dear John, as he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ being the propitiation for our sin. All have sinned, says Paul, and come short of the glory of God. And dear Job had to be taught that he was a sinner. Again, we have the Psalms where we read of these words, and also in the book of Isaiah where he records, he says, There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Who has done good this day? And how often solemnly we must confess that even when we consider the good that we think we have done, how soon pride can enter in. But dear Job, let us enter into his case. He laid upon my heart. But here he says in verse 9, but. And I've often thought, I remember a number of years ago now, the dear Lord's servant, now departed Clemwood, how he would often, as it were, lay his remarks upon a word here and a word there. And I do remember the occasion when he preached from Ephesians 2, and he began with those first two words that it opens. It says, "And you," and then a few verses down, I think it's verse 5, he says, "But God." Dear friends, that is where we are tonight. And what of us? As we know, Job was not left. The thing that stands out to my mind is this, that in all of these things, the hand of God was upon Job. Yes, he was delivered for a season into the power of Satan, which, as we know, he is a dreadful foe. He goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we have scriptures like that that remind us of that power. But there is one consideration that must enter in here, and that is this. He is a contained foe. He is held in the hand of God. We find that in the book of the Revelation, we read of Satan, he knoweth he hath but a short time. That is that time that we read of again, as John records it, where he saw him sent into that lake of fire, that awful lake of everlasting torment. Now, dear Job, he felt himself to be a sinner. He knew what it was to be put through the sieve. He truly was one whom Satan had desired. We know that that was spoken also of Peter. And there's the wonder and the mercy of it all, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "But I have prayed for thee." But as the Lord may be pleased to help us, I would seek to bring these words before us and to consider that as this was Job's path, how often it is the pathway of the Lord's dear people. But in all of those difficulties that arise, and some of us, I feel sure, have walked the pathway that the Lord has led us into. The pathway is in the Lord's hand. It is his sovereign will for us. And there are those times when frail flesh, why, it rebels, does it not? And it fights. And it says, "Why is this? Why do I have to suffer? Why is this burden laid upon me?" It is solemnly human nature, it is the natural heart to cry out against these things. You read the book of Isaiah, and there is the record, "And Zion said, Why hast thou forsaken me?" But the Lord says, "But I have not forgotten thee." He says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child?" Yea, they may forget. Some do. We hear of these solemn things that take place upon this earth. He says, "Yet will I not forget thee." This is the place where Job was. He was held in the hand of his God, not in the hand of Satan. Read the account through carefully. The opening chapters reveal it. Satan had to come amongst the sons of God into the presence of God and to seek permission. The one thing that the Lord God never gave Satan was permission to take away his life. He could affect everything else as he did, but his life was hid with Christ in God. Now that will be true of all of the Lord's dear children. Satan may come in many forms, as he does. He's those powers of darkness that Paul writes of in Ephesians 5. There he raises up the armoury that we are to use, to wear, to fight with. But that does not mean to say that Satan does not come, for he will. But he says, "He knoweth the way that I take." in whatever path you may be walking through this night, the Lord will guide you through. He knows your heart. He knows your down sittings and your uprisings. He knows your thoughts are far off. The scriptures declare these things. He knows every part of yourself, your innermost being, your cares, your fears, your doubts, and your joys. All are in his almighty sovereign hand and divine power. When you are walking through the deepest trouble that you feel you could ever receive, he knoweth. Now I trust we can see some comfort in this. The world may think of what takes place in their lives as haphazard, call it what they will. That can never be so of the Lord's dear people. These are the things that the Lord has ordained for us. And even this dear man says it, doesn't he? In verse 14, "For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him." Now, I'm sure that many of us here could speak of those great depths. We've known them. We've been troubled under them. The burdens have become so heavy. We've had to cry out and plead and wrestle with the Lord. How often has the little prayer ascended up into the presence of the Lord? Lord, help me. And that's all you can say. Or you could come into Romans 8 where dear Paul speaks of the groanings, he says, which cannot be uttered. And that's all that the prayer is. It's a groan. But dear friend, he knoweth. And what is the greatest mercy? He hears. And he knows your heart. He knows your path. And he hears. Now he holds you in his hand. If you have a hope in his mercy, he holds you in his hand. And he says that the Lord's people cannot be lost. He speaks in that beautiful prayer of John 17 as he prays to his Father for those that shall be left behind as the time will come when he shall leave this earth. And he says, none of them is lost. Save, of course, the son of perdition was lost. But none of them is. All continued. All are received safe home. All will be blessed. All will know mercy. All shall receive comfort. All shall hear the voice of the Lord. Dear Job's difficulties were overcome, as we know, in the closing part of the chapter. The Lord blessed him. In fact, the Lord did more than that. If you read it carefully, you will see that he received twice what he had before. He had double the blessing. He entered, I feel sure, into that language of Isaiah when he said, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Say unto her that her iniquity is pardoned. She hath received double for all her sins. But he knoweth, wherever we might be this night, what a great mercy that the Lord knows. Oh, he knows where we are. And when we come into these low places, when perhaps the affliction increases, and you cannot tell how to, as it were, bear the suffering or the pain or the difficulty, he knoweth. Now, in the Lord's mercy, there will always be deliverance. And even that final illness, as it were, I remember to this day the dear Lord's, well, he was never a minister of the gospel, but He truly was a servant of the Lord in one aspect. He was a deacon of the church. And he said to me, he said, Richard, there'll always be that final illness. That dear man passed away, I think 3 years ago. You know, there will always be that final illness. That is the Lord's sovereign will. But he knoweth the way that I take. Or it may be that day that the Lord will command us to leave this life. But you can be certain of this. When he has commanded it, you will not be left. You may feel that you've been left. The Lord's people often do. I have often felt it myself. You feel bowed down. You feel a great burden. You may feel much fear. And particularly at times of difficulty, whatever it might be, whatever is before us, those times that we need deliverance, will the Lord bring us through? Will I know mercy? Will I receive it? Will he hear and answer my prayer? I shan't forget to this day when one of the Lord's servants, his wife was suffering greatly. And an operation was before her. And he became very afraid for her mind. She was so troubled over this that was to come. And he truly trembled often at the throne of grace. He said to me he did not know how the matter would, as it were, fall out. He was so afraid for her. For her mind, for her fears, she seems so burdened. And he says to this day, he received a remarkable blessing. On the day that he took her into the hospital, the day that the appointment for the operation was set, he said, what a difference. He said, he didn't realise or think that it was the same person. He said, the peace. And she said, he understood the blessing, the Lord's presence. And they felt it together. There was the deliverance. It was brought through, restored. But you know, when he comes, this is the important part, isn't it? When he comes where we are. I do like that in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And it says, and he came where he was. I often think that is such a precious description of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes where we are because he knows the way that we are taking. He knows the difficulty. He knows the labour, the burden. He knows the affliction or the sorrow. And the deepest trial that you've ever had to walk through. I remember again another said to me that he had to bear such great agony. He said that when his wife took him into the hospital, he had so much morphine in him, he couldn't speak. He wasn't on this earth. Though his wife had to do all of the recording of his name and so on as they do when you enter in, and he had to have an operation immediately, urgently. He'd been in such pain. But he knew the Lord's mercy. He was brought through. He was delivered. The hand of his God was upon him. And in fact, he said to me this. He said he'd gone to that hospital in such a state of pain, he did not know what to do. He thought he was going to die. The operation took place. His wife went in to see him and said, how are you? He said, I haven't got any pain. He said, it's all gone. Friends, these are the times when you praise God. These are the times when you know deliverance. These are the times when the Lord has known the way you've taken. Can we not record it? This is the way that the Lord our God has led us. And has he not led us? And remember this, that when Moses spoke those words. He says, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Where have you been? Only wandering through a wilderness. What sort of a place was it? Wasn't much there, was there? They had to seek for water. There was the miracle, of course, of the water coming out of the rock. The people complained. The people were at the point, as Moses once said, they're ready to stone me. And he was saying that before the Lord too. You know, you can't get much lower than that, can you? And he was the one appointed by the Lord to lead that company. The people, he says, are ready to stone me. But he knoweth the way that I take. Dear soul, I trust that we can humbly say, yes, the Lord knows where we are, that I take your pathway tonight, wherever you may be in the way. The Lord knows where you are. Why? Because his hand's upon you. His hand holds you. You know, underneath are the everlasting arms. Those were, of course, were the words, were they not, of Jacob. Underneath, you see. You fall into them. And that is the blessing and the mercy. And you receive it. And when you're delivered and brought through, all the praise that ascends up unto the Lord, when you know the sweetness of deliverance for your body, for your soul, for your spirit, for your heart, friends, that is true praise and worship. Then you bow before the Lord. Then you can say of him, he knoweth the way that I take, when he hath tried me. When that is past, when the trial is over, when these days spent upon this poor sinful earth draw to their close, he says, I shall come forth as gold. And Job was, and Job is. Now, I feel sure of this, that the beautiful description of dear John as he sees the new city paved with gold, the Lord's dear people to enter in. Oh, but the highest gold, what is it? Well, it's King Jesus. We shall be like him. That beautiful language again of John. We shall see him, he says, as he is. Or to be like him. He knoweth the way that I take. What a way then the Lord Jesus Christ went. Oh, he was in that garden of Gethsemane. He swept, as it were, great drops of blood. Solemn time. What can we say? He was so burdened that so much was laid upon him. All the sins of his people. And I trust we can humbly say, your sins and mine. But he knoweth the way that I take. And what trial it was to him. And when he came to that cross, oh, the Father's wrath that he received. My God, he cries, why hast thou forsaken me? But dear soul, there's deliverance. You see, this, I believe, is how dear Job saw it. The one thing, going back to how Satan sought to remove so much that belonged to Job that he could never remove, was his faith. It may have become as low as it could possibly be. It may have become like a drop of water in an ocean. But it was still there. And so we find that the Lord, when he gives faith, it will be tried, it will be exercised. True faith is tried faith. Of that I'm certain. If you know anything of it, if you have it in your soul. But the deliverance, the wonder of redeeming love, to know that the one came to that cross and he bore the sins of all of the Lord's dear children, even Job's sins. And can't we read that beautiful language of Job? Listen on another occasion, what does he say? Why, he says this. He says, of course, chapter 19, verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Now that is faith. One thing that Satan cannot, as I've said, remove. And I trust that we know something of it. You see, what is faith? Faith is the gift of God. Paul's words. By grace are ye saved through faith. It is the gift of God. That is mercy. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ dying, suffering upon a cross. The Paul records it, doesn't he? He says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Well, he was speaking of a dear Saviour, a dear Redeemer, a dear burden bearer, one who came to this earth to suffer, to bleed and to die. And I trust you can humbly say, "For me." A beautiful language again of Paul when he says, "Who loved me and gave himself for me." When he knew that in his soul, why, that was the greatest comfort. And this is poor Job here in his depths. But there was a comfort. He knew that the hand of his God was upon it. Read it again. "But he knoweth the way that I take." You know, he understood this, that the Lord God looked upon him. The Lord saw him in all the depth, in all his need. The Lord knew, and the Lord would deliver. I spoke of one, a dear deacon, who spoke of that last affliction. And that last affliction will be the final deliverance. We may say, but that is death. It's a solemn place to come to. So it is. But it will be, as it were, the final deliverance. For it will deliver a soul from this poor sinful earth into that glorified state that Paul wrote of elsewhere to those in Thessalonica, 1st Epistle, chapter 4, when he says, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now that is deliverance. That was Job's hope. Again, Satan could not remove Job's hope. It was given to him by his God. However much it was tested and tried and put through a flame, all that became of it was that it got purer and stronger. Israel, we read, passing through the fire. Again, another scripture, "I have chosen thee out of the furnace of affliction." Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but," all those little words, dear Clem Wood so often spoke of them, "but," he says, "be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He overcame. Satan is a defeated foe. Not only a contained foe, he's defeated. You will see that in the book of the Revelation. It is very clear that John saw it. It's chapter 12, verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." Him being Satan, all his angels, all the evil. His kingdom was a defeated and is a defeated kingdom. And that in your never dying soul, if you're one of the Lord's children. The defeat will not be of you, but of that evil one. you will be delivered. You will be brought through. You will be set free. You will be released from the captivity of sin. You will know what it is to enter into the presence and the glory of the Lord. You will know that eternal peace and eternal love. You will know eternal comfort. You see, that's eternal life. Dear Job had that within himself. Again, Satan could not remove it from the soul of Job. Once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. Stands the same today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now this is mercy. This is humbling. But this is precious. And I trust you and I can say tonight this is real. Or may you say from a full heart, yes. I have walked perhaps at times a hard path. You may have known difficulties at times in their extreme. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Read the beautiful passage of Ephesians 2 through. Yes, what he has done for a never dying soul. Why, he quickened it, didn't he? He put life in it. And once life is there, it's sustained. Now this is eternal life I'm speaking of, not natural life. For our natural life must cease. But that glorious life, why, that must appear. I'll read you the language. It's the most beautiful passage of Scripture to me. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Yes, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, this gift of God is faith. And once given, never removed, never taken back. Exercised, tried, tested, to prove what sort of faith it is. But if it is faith in Christ, it will come through. It will be proven to be gold. It will be founded upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be real. It will be eternal. It will be comfort that is everlasting. Or to enter into the presence of the Lord in heaven in eternity. Now that is salvation and that is deliverance. We have the words of the Scripture. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what he hath prepared for them that love him. We do not know, we cannot tell. We can be certain of this, the presence of the Lord is blessing indeed. To be set free from this poor sinful earth, to never have another sin arise in our hearts, to know that eternal love of Christ and the love of God, to receive that blessing of that mercy of which the psalmist said is everlasting. Friends, that truly will be glory, where the Lord's dear children will be revealed as gold. The gold is Christ Jesus, for we have none other. The gold surely is himself, to be with him. That gold that we have that is spiritual gold is all that he's given us. That is his love, that is his mercy, that is his precious blood, that is cleansing power, that is glorious work. Why, this is saving work. And now you have a poor and a needy soul, but in the presence of Christ, it's a redeemed soul. Beautiful language again of Paul as he opens the epistles on so many occasions. He says, called to be saints. And you think of yourself and you say, who me? Why, what a sinner I am. And all we are all sinners, as we have to confess before a just and a holy God. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to weave that robe of righteousness, and it is woven for the beloved, for the bride of Christ, for his church, and is the wedding garment, and it will be put on, and it will be worn, it will be received and revealed. These are they which have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I trust, dear friends, we may be found amongst that number. Oh, that's our concern, is it not, tonight? Oh, to be one of that sweet company. Oh, to have our names recorded, as one hymn writer says, in some humble place beneath my Lord the Lamb. To pray for some sweetness and power in this precious word. I have often read it, and so few times over the years have I felt it laid upon my heart to bring it before the people. But I trust that it may be made sweetness and a comfort and a help on the way to each one of us this night. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Whatever burden is the greatest perhaps before you and before me, you know, when the Lord removes it, what seems a mountain, why, the mountains flow down at his presence. They become as nothing. And have we not proved it? Has this not been some of our heart's experiences? Look at that great mountain. Look at the mountain of my sin, how I add to it daily. But when the Lord's precious blood is applied to that sin, it is gone forever. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, says the Lord. Beautiful language in the book of Isaiah. And the wonder of it is this. I understand that in the Hebrew language there isn't what we know of as an adverb. The word very doesn't really exist. So how they deal with a matter to, as it were, make it plain, I've already mentioned it in a form, because it's doubled. In other words, it's repeated. That's its emphasis. Once doubled, you can be certain of it. You do not hear it just once, but you hear it again. When the Lord applies it with divine power, then it's yours. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, is twice in the book of Isaiah. You can read it through chapters 43, 44. You see, when the Lord has done it, why, that is mercy. That is deliverance. That is gold. And I trust that we shall know something of that, that sweet deliverance, to come into that glorious place, to see those streets of gold, and then to see one at the right hand of the Father. You know, dear John did see him, didn't he? Very early on in the book of the Revelation, he sees the sacrifice. He says, and on the right hand, read it in John 5, stood a lamb as it had been slain. There is King Jesus, still seen, still the sacrifice, and that forevermore. Most precious. Well, I trust there may be some blessing in these words. May those things spoken perhaps in weakness be made a blessing and a comfort to your never dying soul. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I did read Psalm 71. I pointed it out to you and would just refer to it again, and the sweet language of it, of course, how it is recorded there. And it is the pathway for the Lord's dear children when he says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.